I want to ask you to, hypothetically speaking now, just assume for a moment that this building, the one we're standing in, the one we're sitting in, was demolished. Yeah? Demolished. How would you feel if this building that you are sitting in right now was demolished one day, possibly this week? You know, bulldozer comes in, you know, starts off at the front gates and just works its way through, you know? Nigel's having a... how do you feel, you know, all your hard work, you know, just demolished? Fine, maybe you're not attached, okay, to this building. But how would you feel if the bulldozers rolled in and demolished your house, yeah? How would you feel if it demolished your house? My house is only 2.5 years old. How would you feel if it, you've only lived there for 2.5 years and the bulldozers came in and demolished it and it was gone. It was gone. How would you feel if everything that you've worked for, everything that you've built, everything that you've established, in a moment, was demolished. Was demolished. Was taken away. So much so that you will never see it again. How would you feel? How would you feel if it was all demolished? I'll come back to that a little bit later. I prayed, didn't I? The story of Zacchaeus, okay? The story of Zacchaeus. It's that classic Sunday school story, isn't it? I mean, how many of you remember this from Sunday school? Yeah? I wasn't even a Christian when I went to Sunday school, but I remember this story, yeah? And there's that song, isn't it? Zacchaeus was a very little man. A very little man was he. He climbed up to, for the Saviour he wanted to see. Yeah, it's that one, isn't it? It's one of those unforgettable stories. And in one sense, I'm not going to kind of go through the story again, because I'm hoping many of us will know the story. The story simply goes something like this. Zacchaeus was in Jericho. Crowds of people had gathered to find out who Jesus was. Jesus was doing miracles. Jesus was teaching people. They all wanted to find out. And Zacchaeus was no different. Probably Zacchaeus had heard that Jesus welcomes people. They were all wanting to see Jesus. And Jesus is passing through Jericho. And there's crowds of people. And Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. But he's short. So what does he do? He climbs up a sycamore fig tree. And he's probably looking for Jesus. And then the amazing thing happens. Jesus comes right up to the sycamore tree. He looks up and he says, Zacchaeus, I must come to your house today. And the story goes something like this. Everyone's muttering, saying, Jesus, go into the house of a sinner. But Zacchaeus is saying, look, Lord, if I've cheated anybody, I'm a tax collector. You know, tax collectors were known to be people who were traitors. They were known to be people who were thieves. They were scoundrels. They took the money for the Romans, but they also pocketed for their own gain. That's what they were known for. And he was saying, look, if I've done that, he was basically admitting he had done it, I'll pay it back. I'll make it right. And those wonderful words, Jesus saying, today salvation has come to this house. This man too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the story of Zacchaeus. On that day in Jericho, eternity was open for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus became a Christian. Zacchaeus became a follower of Jesus. Zacchaeus had his sin forgiven. Zacchaeus was right with God. That's the Sunday school story. On that day, Zacchaeus becomes a follower of Jesus. And I hope in one way we all know that story. And if you're somebody who's not yet a Christian, well, Zacchaeus is the perfect example for you. If you're not yet a Christian, you need to do what Zacchaeus has done. You need to confess your sin before Christ, and you need to come to him in repentance and faith. You need to turn from your sinful ways, and you need to put your trust in Jesus. And the Bible says Jesus died on a cross to pay for the price of sin. And if you do that, today you will be forgiven. And today, eternity will be opened for you. Today, you'll be right with God. Today, you'll be a friend with God. And today, if you die, you'll enter into heaven. That's the story of Zacchaeus. But this evening I want to look at the story from the perspective of Jesus. I want to have a look at the story and ask, well, what is Jesus doing in this story? Look at the mission of Christ. Look at Christ's mission. It's very clear what Jesus is saying, isn't it? In verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The pronouncement that Jesus says to Zacchaeus, today, verse 9, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. That pronouncement, those words tell you what Jesus' mission is all about. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save sinners. He came to seek and to save them so that they would become part of that promise that in the Old Testament God gave to Abraham. God said to Abraham, when in the book of Genesis that he appeared to him and he said, listen Abraham, I'm gonna bless you. I'm gonna make your name great and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I'm gonna make your descendants as numerous as the stars. You won't even be able to count them. You see, my friends, God has a plan. God has a goal. God has a goal that one day God's people will be with him. They'll be with him. They'll be his family. This promise to Abraham thousands of years ago is going to realize itself that one day, well, I don't know if you can call it a day in eternity, but at one point in time, I don't know if you can use the words point in time, because eternity is timeless. But somewhere in eternity, at that moment, God's family will be around the throne. And there, God's family will worship Jesus forever. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Sinners, so that they would be part of God's family. They'd be part of this promise to Abraham. And there in eternity, we'll see redeemed sinners worshipping the Lamb. What is Jesus doing? What is his mission? What's he doing as he comes to Zacchaeus? What's he doing as he goes past Jericho and to Jerusalem? He's carrying out the will of his Father. What does God want? God wants a people for himself. The Bible says that God loves this world. And he wants a people for himself. And Jesus is doing the will of his Father. Jesus is being obedient. He came to seek and to save the lost. John Piper says this in one of his writings. He says this: The final goal of all things is that God might be worshipped with white hot affection by a redeemed company of countless numbers from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. The final goal of everything that is going on right now is there's going to be an eternity where people from every tribe and tongue and nation, countless, you won't be able to number them, will be around that throne worshipping Jesus, crying, worthy is the Lamb. That is the end goal. That is where all things are heading. It's the end goal for me. It's the end goal for you if you're a Christian. The worship of Jesus around the throne. And that is Christ's mission, isn't it? He came so that he could die on a cross. And as he died on the cross, that curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, and that way for us sinners to be around that throne in eternity, forever. Sean and me were watching a program the other night. Hospital, Have you heard of it? Hospitals? I don't know what it's called. It's an inside look at hospitals and the NHS. I don't know why she wants to watch hospital programs after coming back from... Anyway, she got me to watch it. And it's a real true-to-life documentary, isn't it? Because it looks inside a hospital. And it's really sad, if I'm honest. You know, you see people, and maybe you've experienced this, and I know you have. I've experienced it, Sian's experienced it. You've got an operation to come, yeah? Yeah? And they give you a date, and they give you a letter, and then you go in, and then you get all prepared, and as you're there waiting ready, what do they turn around and do? They say, I'm sorry, we've got no beds. And they turn you around, and off you go home. Second time, you do it again, yeah? Go back to the hospital, get all ready. You think, well, it failed the first time, there were no beds. Second time, and what happens? This time you get a little bit further, you get into the operating theatre. But what happens this time? You're about to start, and then what do they say? I'm sorry, there's no beds. That was the programme, you can watch it if you want, but it's very sad, isn't it? It's very real, isn't it? It's important, isn't it? To get the help that you need. But what's, I suppose, even sadder is this. Is that our world, when it looks at issues like that, think that that is the last chance that we have. They think that's the last opportunity that we have to be as healthy as we can and to live for as long as we can. That's what the way the world thinks, isn't it? The demands of our society. The demands of our health services. But you see, my friends, Jesus' mission goes beyond all that. There is an eternity coming where God's people who've been redeemed, who've been forgiven, who've been washed clean, will be around the throne of the Lamb. And in that eternity, Jesus is going to say there's going to be no more crying. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more death. There'll be no more sin, for the old order of things have passed away. There is an eternity coming where there'll be no more sin, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more pain. I asked you earlier, how would you feel if this building was demolished? How would you feel if your houses were demolished? Do you know the day is coming, and I don't know how God is going to do it, I don't know if he's going to send the bulldozers in, but the day is coming when everything that you see, everything that you're sitting on, will be gone. There's a day coming when Jesus Christ will return. There's a day coming when Jesus Christ will return and he will make everything right, and we won't need church buildings anymore. You won't need your houses anymore. You won't need the seats anymore. You won't need any of that anymore. Isn't that going to be a wonderful day? When God will send Jesus, and Jesus, everything will be made right. Isn't that a great day? When everything will be demolished and renewed and recreated, and you'll be able to step into eternity. And you won't be waiting for the next operation, because you'll have a resurrected, glorious body. You see, that's Christ's mission. He came to seek and to save the lost, so that we could become part of that wonderful promise to Abraham, which the goal of it is an eternity. It's an eternity. Christ's mission. What about Christ's focus? Do you see there in the story, Jesus enters Jericho, and it's just really busy, isn't it? It's just really busy. There's a crowd come to see him. There's a crowd come to see him. And what does Jesus do? Doesn't get distracted. Doesn't get sidetracked. Just goes up to the sycamore tree and looks up and stops and has time for Zacchaeus. Don't you think that's just simply amazing that the Son of God, the Son of Man, the one who created the universe, has the time to stop and have tea at Zacchaeus' house. Isn't that incredible when you think about it? This is the God who flung the stars into space. This is the one who has put the sun and the moon in the right places so that we have gravity, and I don't know how my science works, but this is the God who's done all of that. And yet he has the time, he has the focus to stop and to prioritize on Zacchaeus. And what does he see as he looks up? He sees a dirty, rotten, swindler, tax collector. That's what he sees. If I got up the tree, or you got up the tree, I know some of you would be climbing up the tree, hanging on for dear life. If it was you on the tree, what would he see? Yeah? Would he see, you know, nice church people that come to church and wear a suit and polish their shoes and wear a scarf? What does he see? See nice, polite Koreans or really noisy Moses? What would he see? He's going to see dirty, rotten sinners to the core. That's what he sees. And do you see what Jesus does next? He walks away, doesn't he? You see? The God of the universe. He comes up, he looks at a tree, he sees dirty, rotten tax collector. And if it was me, he'd see a dirty, rotten sinner. If it was you, he'd see a dirty, rotten sinner. He should walk away, shouldn't he? But he doesn't. He sees somebody who's a sinner, but he sees somebody who is potential royalty. Somebody who would be around that throne on that final day in eternity. And he doesn't walk away from his mission. He doesn't look at Zacchaeus and think, well, do you know what? You're a tax collector, you're a thief, you're a deceit, you're a liar. I'm not going to die for you. He doesn't do that, does he? His priority, his mission, is that whatever he sees, despite what he sees, he's still willing to die for Zacchaeus. He's still willing to die for sinners like you and me. And he doesn't walk away. The Bible says God loves this world. He really does. He demonstrated it. He died on a cross for the sin of his people. Do you see also in the story, it gets a bit difficult for Jesus, doesn't it, in one sense, when you've got the opposition and they're muttering, saying, why would you go to be the guest of a sinner? He gets plenty of opposition. You know, why would you go to Jerusalem? Why would you die on a cross? Even when Jesus is opposed, even when Jesus is told that he shouldn't do this, even when maybe Jesus even thinks, is it worth it? Even when Jesus is tempted not to go and die on a cross, he's completely focused, isn't he? On his mission. Completely focused on what his Father wants, that in eternity there's going to be people from every tribe and tongue and nation round the throne praising him forever. Despite the opposition, despite the grumblings, despite who we are, he doesn't back away. He doesn't give up. But he willingly goes to the cross for the sin of his people. You know, every day I get up and I meet somebody who is opposed to this Jesus, right? Every day I get up, I meet somebody who's opposed to this Jesus and to his mission. Every day I get up and I meet somebody who is opposed to this Jesus and to his mission. Somebody who doesn't want Jesus to seek and to save the lost. Every day I get up, I'm opposed to some. I meet somebody who doesn't want to see people forgiven. Every day I get up and I meet somebody who doesn't want to see people hear about this Jesus. Do you know that person too? It's the devil, isn't it? Every day. Every day. Somebody opposed to this Jesus. Somebody opposed to this mission. Because the devil doesn't want anyone to be standing around that throne in eternity. The devil doesn't want anyone to be standing around that throne in eternity. Do you remember, just before you became a Christian? I remember it really clearly. Do you remember you were going through that thought process? You were thinking of, that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. You were thinking it through. You knew what Jesus Christ had done for you on the cross. But did any of you have that nagging feeling at the back of your mind that actually there was something better than following Jesus? Did you ever anyone remember that, having to work it out and thinking, should I follow Jesus? Should I not follow Jesus? And you had that nagging voice thinking, well, actually, maybe I'll just carry on living my own way. Did you hear the devil say to you, don't follow Jesus? Did you hear the devil say that your life was better your way? Did you hear the devil saying, do you know what? Eternity, that's not real. Did you hear the devil saying, eternity, heaven, that's boring? Anyone remember that nagging voice of the devil saying that that is simply not worth it? My friends, Jesus is completely focused against anything else that might oppose him, against anyone else that might mutter against him, because that's his mission, to obey his Father, to die on a cross, so that people like us could be in eternity. Aren't you glad that Jesus is focused? Aren't you glad that Jesus never gave up? Aren't you glad that Jesus, despite everything, even sweat drops of blood, went to a cross for sinners like you and me? You know, there is somebody that wants you to lose your focus. There's somebody that wants you to lose your focus. There's somebody that wants you to walk downstairs straight after this meeting, and they want you to forget that on the notice sheet downstairs, there's a little note that says, what's on in February? Food for thought. Monthly opportunity to bring friends to a lunch and also hear the good news of Jesus. There's somebody that wants you to forget that on the 16th of February, that there is a wonderful opportunity for you to bring a friend to come and hear about Jesus so that they can be in that eternity. There's somebody that wants you to forget about that. There's somebody that wants you to not even invite them. There's somebody that wants you to think that your friends and your neighbours are just nice people and they'll be okay. My friends, remember Jesus. Whatever opposition he had, whatever mutterings he had, he was never distracted. Even when it was really busy, even when there were crowds, he stopped and he saw Zacchaeus. We're all busy, aren't we, people? We've all got our own lives. But what is it that we'll do this week that will make us stop for a moment and focus on eternity? What is it that we'll do this week that will make us stop for a moment and look at the people around us and to think of that eternity? That eternity that is coming when all these things that we live in and touch and feel will be demolished, will be gone. But that eternity will last forever. Finally, Christ's mission, Christ's focus, Christ's reward. It's a Sunday school story, isn't it? And if when I asked you, you know, at the beginning, you know, can you repeat the song? We'll all repeat the song. We know the Sunday school story. We know the story of the kids. But sometimes, a bit like me, I'll read the story, but I'll forget that this story is in a gospel. This story is in a gospel, and it's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. And as I read the story, as I read verses 9 and 10, and I glory in it, I think this is wonderful that Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. As I read all of that, and I think that's wonderful, I've got to remember, I've got to read on. And in verse 11, it says, now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable. It's interesting, isn't it? The very people that are hearing about the Son of Man coming to seek and to save that which was lost, the very people that are hearing about how you can belong to this wonderful family in eternity, are the same people that Jesus speaks to and tells them another parable. And in this parable, he tells them of what it looks like to be a faithful servant of Christ. He tells them what it looks like to be a person who has been sought, who has been lost, but is now found. He tells them what it looks like to be a son of Abraham. He tells them what it looks like to be Christ-like, to not just look at Christ and think he's following his mission, but to look now and say, well, if we now love God, what should our mission be? He tells them about the parable of the miners. And you've got this first servant who's taken his 10 miners and has been really wise with them and been productive and used his gifts and the gifts that God has given him. And he's produced 10 more. He's a good and faithful servant. You've got the other one who's had 5 miners and he's used the gifts that he's been given and he's produced 5 more. But then you got the other one who had 1, but he did nothing with it. And what does the story say? Well, it says that if you've been redeemed, it says that if you've been saved, if you've been forgiven, if you've been rescued, as Ephesians 2 reminds us, that you've been not only given the gift of grace, but you're also God's workmanship. And you've been given this wonderful opportunity. You've been thought of before the foundation of the world. And you've been given this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to serve him. And as you serve him, as you think of all the things that he has prepared in the before the foundations of the world for you to be gifted to do, as you carry out your service, as you faithfully execute your gifts, then in this earth you are reaping rewards in eternity. Do you see that? Salvation is followed by service. Salvation is followed by service. And if you just think for a moment that every single thing that we touch and feel, every single thing that we are here for, everything is heading to this eternity. The final goals of all things is to be around the throne. Then you and I, with the gifts that God has given us, can serve him for that eternity. You and I have been privileged. Have been given gifts. You know what it's like to receive a gift? We pass Christmas, it's all done. It's nice to receive a gift, isn't it? And you're always wondering, you know, is that gift going to be suitable for me? And it's nice when you get a gift and it's just right, isn't it? And if you compare it to the gifts that you really don't want, you know, it makes sense, isn't it? You know, the ones that you don't want, you kind of try to smile, you kind of try to do the British way and say, thank you very much. And basically what it means is you're going to return it, or you're going to exchange it, or you're going to give it away to somebody else. But when you do open the gift that you really want, it makes you so happy, doesn't it? If that's how you feel when you receive a gift that you really want, how much more to be given a gift by your Creator? To be given gifts, to be given talents, to be given opportunities to serve him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords bestows you gifts. And we're to use them wise and faithfully. There's no such thing in the Christian life as retirement. We don't ever retire to serving God. Go back to my notices. Somebody doesn't want you to hear this. Help needed, if you read it already. Liz Clifford is looking for volunteers who will be able to cook a meal for Impact Group on Mondays. Please contact Liz if you can help. Anyone gifted at cooking? your earthly service for the sake of the kingdom. For the sake of the kingdom. For the sake of eternity. Because my friends, if you're a Christian, that's where you're heading. That's where you're going to end up. You're going to be in eternity around the throne praising Jesus forever. Let me finish by asking a question. Are you on the same side as Jesus? Are you on the same side as Jesus? Are you excited by his mission? Are you focused in the way he is focused on lost souls? That without Jesus, they will never enter into that eternity. They will only enter into the eternity of hell. Are you excited knowing that you've been given gifts by your Heavenly Father who knows you more than anyone else? And are you willing to serve him? Are you willing to serve him knowing that your reward is in eternity? My friends, eternity is coming for God's people. And it'll be great. It'll be wonderful. There'll be no more pain. No more crying. No more mourning. No more death. No more sickness. For the old order of things will pass away. And then God will dwell with his people, and his people will dwell with him.